Welcome to the Voice of the Agent podcast. I'm Toby Martin. Some weeks you get Simon Ledbetter deep in conversation with a special guest. Other weeks you'll hear snippets from our brilliant speakers from the Voice of the Agent conference earlier this year. This week, in a once-a-month episode, I'm bringing you what can only be described as a statsplosion as I take you through the key data from the most recent Voice of the Agent report, a survey that regularly checks the sentiment and experiences of hundreds of consumers and agents in the UK. This is our thorough examination of part four of the Voice of the Agent 2025 report, Consumers and Conveyancing. Picture this. You've found your dream home. You've made an offer. It's been accepted. Everything feels perfect. And then nothing. Weeks turn into months. Your solicitor goes silent. The agent stops returning calls. And suddenly that dream feels like a nightmare that will never end. Sound familiar? You're not alone. The average time from instruction to completion in the UK right now is 195 days. That's over 6 months of your life spent in property purgatory. But here's what's really interesting. When we ask people who was to blame for delays in their home move, the answers might just surprise you. Now, if you've been following along with our quarterly Voice of the Agent reports this year, you'll know we've already explored the commercial core of agency life, the technology transforming the sector, and the macro forces shaping the market. But part four is where it all gets rather personal. This is where we look at what consumers actually experience when they try to move home. And spoiler alert, it's not always pretty. Over the course of this episode, we're going to explore how consumers are really finding properties in 2025, what they think about stamp duty reform, which brands they trust and which they avoid, and why the relationship between estate agents and conveyancers might just be the industry's biggest bottleneck. And we'll talk about AI, because of course we will. Let's get on with it. So let's start with the question that should matter to every single agent listening. How are consumers actually finding properties in 2025? The short answer, they're not really walking past your shop window anymore. Among active buyers and sellers, 39% are searching entirely online. Another 39% are mostly online with just a little bit of offline activity. Tenants are even more digital, with nearly half relying solely on online searches. You compare that to the general population, where 5% still use only offline channels. That gap tells you everything you need to know. If you're actively moving home, you're living on your phone. If you're just casually browsing, you might still wander into a branch or check the local paper. When we drilled into the specific methods people use, the portals absolutely dominate. 57% use sites like Rightmove, Zoopla, and On The Market. That's more than double the number who go directly to agent websites, which sits at 29%. Only 18% still walk into a branch. For sale boards, 16% notice them. Local newspapers are measly 4%. And social media, despite all the hype, is just 6%. Here's the age split that really matters. 70% of 18 to 29-year-olds use portals, compared with just 40% of those over 75. The older demographic is also far more likely to report using none of these methods at all. 41% versus 17% of younger buyers. Now, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Or should I say, the algorithm in the room. Right now, less than 1% of the general population uses AI or large language models like ChatGPT to search for property. Among active buyers planning to move in the next 2 years, that jumps to 3.3%, which is tiny, right? But ChatGPT only launched in late 2022. We've gone from zero to measurable adoption in just 3 years. No other property search technology has grown that fast. So we modelled four possible futures. In the most conservative scenario, AI adoption grows to about 5% by 2032, which is small but meaningful. In the most aggressive scenario, which follows typical tech adoption curves, AI could overtake some traditional channels well before 2032. Even if we take the cautious middle path, AI would climb from dead last to sixth place in the property search league table within a decade. And it won't do that by expanding the market. It'll do it by eating into portals, websites, and social media. The question isn't if AI will matter, it's how fast and which players will own that interface when it does. Right. Let's talk about brands, because here's a slightly uncomfortable truth. Being famous doesn't mean that you're getting instructions. Take Purple Bricks. Nearly three quarters of the public, 73%, have heard of them. One in five say they'd consider using them. Sounds brilliant, doesn't it? Except their actual market share is just 2.7%. Now compare that to OpenRent. Barely 10% of people recognize the name. Only 3% say they'd consider using them. And yet they account for a staggering 25% of actual lettings. So that's not a brand problem. That's a brand working in stealth mode, solving a specific problem so well that awareness becomes irrelevant. So the lesson here is that fame without actual function is just meaningless noise. If you want to know which brands consumers actually trust, forget market share and look at net recommend scores. The proportion who'd actively recommend a brand minus those who'd warn others to avoid it. At the top of the tree is Rightmove, with an extraordinary 93% NRS. Zoopla follows at 81%, and then On the Market just behind at 79%. So these aren't just well-known portals. They are, as far as the consumer's concerned, indispensable infrastructure. And among agents, the premium brands shine. Fine & Country hits 87%, Stratton Parker 80%, Knight Frank 71%. These are businesses that have converted prestige into advocacy. In the mid-market, it's a mixed bag. Connells sits at 19%, William H. Brown at 26%, Purple Bricks at 23%, which is respectable but hardly inspiring. And then there's Foxtons at minus 10%. Proving that being divisive is not always a good marketing strategy. So the winners are clear. Portals and premium brands have earned trust. Everyone else is just tolerated. Okay, let's move on to policy for a moment, because this is where things get really interesting. We asked people whether they'd support spreading stamp duty payments over 2 to 5 years through a government-backed scheme, rather than paying it all up front. The single biggest response, 39%, said I don't know. Which makes sense, right? Because stamp duty isn't something most people think about until they're staring at a completion statement and suddenly realizing they owe the government tens of thousands of pounds. But among those who did have an opinion, support was overwhelming. 4 in 5 people favored the reform. When you break that down across the full sample, it's 30% in support versus just 8% opposed. What's the lesson for policymakers? Well, people aren't against reform. They just don't understand the system well enough to have strong opinions. Explain it clearly, make it simple, and you will find latent support. On the letting side, we asked landlords how well they understood the Renters' Rights Act. Only 16% said they felt fully prepared. A further 32% had a general understanding but still had questions about it, and nearly 17% had heard of it but knew very little, and 7% were entirely unaware it existed. So that's not the sound of a sector marching confidently into reform. That's the sound of a sector muddling through. And it's into this confusion that OpenRent is making serious gains. Back in early 2020, OpenRent accounted for about 9 to 11% of landlord instructions. Today, it's closer to 17% of instructions and a consistent 23 to 25% share of lets. Why? Because OpenRent's customer base is young, urban, digitally confident and price sensitive. They over-index massively among groups like rental hubs and aspiring homemakers. These are landlords and tenants who value transparency and low cost over hand-holding. Traditional agents can't compete on price. Their defense has to be service, trust, and the hybrid combination of human expertise with digital efficiency. But if they don't adapt quickly, OpenRent's quiet revolution will become an industry takeover. All right, let's get to the heart of the problem, conveyancing. When we ask people to describe the current working relationship between estate agents and conveyancers, only 5% said very effective. The most common response at 36% was somewhat effective. Translation, it works, but barely. Over a quarter sat on the fence, calling it neither effective nor ineffective, and 32% went negative, with 23% calling it somewhat ineffective and 9% going as far as very ineffective. Now, when people actually experienced delays in their recent home move, guess who got the blame? Conveyancers and solicitors took the biggest hit at 29%, followed by buyers and sellers themselves at 23%. Estate agents, just 3%, and surveyors, 1%. Mortgage brokers squeaking in at 2%. So the bottleneck isn't the agent on the high street. It's the solicitor's desk, apparently. When we asked what would most improve the relationship, the answers were refreshingly straightforward. Top of the list, set clearer expectations for clients at the outset. That scored 41%. Followed closely by faster, more transparent communication between all parties at 39%. People also want greater mutual understanding of roles, 35%, sufficient staffing on both sides, that's 32%, and agreed response time standards at 29%. Do you notice what's missing here? Nobody's calling for a technological revolution. They're calling for better teamwork, clearer communication, more people doing the work, standardized processes. And these aren't moonshot ideas, they're basics. And yet the fact that they're still top of the wish list tells you how far the industry has to go. So what have we learned from part four of the Voice of the Agent report in 2025? First, consumers are confident in property, but skeptical about process. They still believe in home ownership. They still want to move, but they're deeply frustrated by how long it takes and how poorly everyone communicates. Second, the brands that win aren't the one with the biggest marketing budgets. They're the ones that either deliver exceptional service like a Fine and Country or exceptional utility like an OpenRent. Fame without function is just bland wallpaper. Thirdly, AI is coming. It's tiny now, but it's growing faster than any search channel in history. If you're not thinking about how your business shows up in an AI-driven world, you're already lagging behind. And finally, conveyancing remains the industry's biggest weakness. The fixes are not complicated. They're just not happening fast enough. If you found this useful, and I really hope you have, please do subscribe to the Voice of the Agent podcast wherever you are listening. Leave us a review if you're feeling generous. It genuinely helps other agents to find this show. You can read the full part four report along with all the other previous editions completely for free over at weareunchained.co.uk. And if you want to talk to us about how these insights could shape your marketing strategy, drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll be back next week with another episode of the Voice of the Agent podcast. Until then, remember, data doesn't have an opinion, but it does have a voice. I'm Toby Martin. Thanks for listening.